Who among you here, you consider yourself young? Para lang, just a survey. You consider yourself young and a liar also. Okay, so, okay, now I know, okay? I consider myself young, all right? In fact, all right, just let me make a case before I jump, because we talk about next generation series and a lot of old people would kind of tune out. Ay, tito na ako, tita na ako. No, please don't. When I was studying and my professor was around 80 plus years old, he told us to write a life map, a life journey, every 7 years, what happens in your life. And as I was writing it down at first, I was new in the class. I said, wow, I have so many challenges. I feel so old. And then he started talking about his life journey at 80 years old. And I felt like a baby. I felt so young. And the Holy Spirit just spoke and says, don't think you're old. You're not old. You're young. There are so many things that you are going to go through, whether it's challenges and breakthroughs. Don't even think at the age of 40, you're old. You're not old. You're still young, right? So if you're here today and you're below 80, you're young, okay? Can you look at your seatmate and say, you're still young? Yeah. Can you look at your wife and say, I want to grow old with you? Oh, yeah. But we want to burn brighter. And I think that's a cry of the heart of every follower of Christ. That my relationship with God won't stay stagnant, but it would grow and burn even brighter as the years go by. As we grow older, the more we walk with this God that we serve and worship, the more we realize, wow, I need the presence of God in my life. And I can't settle in my faith, but there are still dreams that I need to fulfill, lands that I need to conquer, things I still need to do for the kingdom of God. And that's our prayer. Can we just bow down our heads and pray? Father, we commit this time to you. We pray that you would speak to each and every one of us, not just to the young people, but especially to the people, Lord, who might think, you know, let me pass this on to the next. I pray that you would start to revive dreams and visions. And Lord, start to revive life among people who might feel like we're at the end of our rope or we're old already. I pray, God, that as a community, as a family of people, Lord, today, we pray that you give us a word from the Lord, a word from the Spirit of God that would make us see at a different time perspective. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, our topic would be on Caleb, the spirit of Caleb. Caleb was 85 years old. That's why this is not for the next generation, right? Numbers 14, not for the next generation only. Verse 22 to 23, he says, shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers, and none of those who despise me shall see it. But my servant Caleb, because he is a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went and his descendants shall possess it. This is the key text for us today as we look at two chapters of the book of Numbers, where he talks about Caleb having a different spirit. Okay. Now, this week I watched the documentary of Steph Curry, Underrated, and it talks about his journey when he was in high school. He was so young, he was so small, that nobody wanted to get him. From high school to college, not even one college wanted him except this college outside of Charlotte called Davidson College. When they scouted Steph Curry, they said that he's small, he's thin, and he cannot make it in college basketball. Right? So, wala nang spoiler alert, no? Just please, just watch what he did when he was in college, even when he was small. He proved himself to be so good, yet when he was about to enter the NBA, here was the scouting report. He lacks athleticism, below standard, he's not a good finisher, he needs to be improved as a ball handler, all the negative reports that you would see with Steph Curry. You all know Steph Curry now is a 3-4-time NBA champion. He changed the game of basketball. But when you look at the next generation, what do you see? A lot of people might want to see a LeBron James. Oh, a high school sensation. Oh, yan. But you look at the normal guys like Steph and a lot of Filipinos today, and you, oh, they're small, oh, like this. You know, so many excuses on the scouting report of what the future of our nation would look like. And we might say, you know what? Let's just focus on the older ones. Let's focus on the business people. Let's not focus on the next generation. And that would be the greatest failure if the church moves in that direction. If we forget that raising the next generation, and parents, mind you, if you start focusing more on your business and career than focus on your parenting and raising a generation of godly men and women, you might regret the decisions you'll make. Because you can have all the money in the world, but without godly character in the lives of the next generation, they will just spend everything that you work hard for. When you see young people, what do you see? When you see the next generation, what do you see? When you see a person in high school or college, what do you see? Are we willing to invest and impart to the next generation? Or would we just rather say, you know, just give it to the Every Nation campus? Let Connie be the ultimate babysitter of our kids, or let them go to kids' church and experience God there, but not me. What do you see when you see young people? How do we, as a church, elevate the lives, the spiritual lives of the next generation within our own spiritual family? Okay. We had a meeting one time, a group of around 300-400, and one of the person asked, what do we do with gaslighting when people gaslight us? So I was one of the older ones in the meeting, but I'm still young, all right? And I said, you know what? I grew up being gaslighted without even knowing the term. That's Filipino culture. Older generations will gaslight you, make you doubt yourself. It was only in church, in Victory, that somebody looked at me in the eye and told me I had a destiny and I had a purpose. It changed the trajectory of my life because somebody believed in me. Now, I'm not saying gaslight. You know, when I was gaslighted, it actually made me stronger. It made me realize I don't need to listen to all the voices and let it affect me. I rather have to listen to the voice of God. And I'm thankful for Pastor Ferdy, who's now our bishop, who was my youth pastor in the past, who looked at me in the eye and told me, Dennis, you will be a world changer. You are going to go around and preach the gospel and be a leader that God will use. When everybody was saying, oh, you're the shy guy, you're the Chinese guy with a, di ba, nakahay, nakatuck in with the good morning textile, walking around trying to be safe. But he introduced me to a life of adventure with God. Changed me. How do we see the next generation? Last night was our last event at Alphaland. And a lot of the people that we're reaching out to are part of the barangay over on the other side. Mga Olympia and ano pa ba yung mga barangay doon? Yeah, on that side. And then a lot of the campuses actually are located there. And we will have some of the work this year in Pio del Pilar and FEU Makati. And some of the students are now attending our church. You know, and there could be a reason to say, oh, it's farther here. Will they come? It's not a problem. They're in Glorieta. They're in Greenbelt. They're everywhere. They're in Circuit. It doesn't matter. What matters is if the church would do its part of going down to the level of these young people and say, let me journey with you. Let me walk with you and teach you the ways of Jesus and teach you how to be successful in a world that's chaotic and that's very, very dangerous. And live out your faith with the godly men and women in this community and say, we can do this together. Ako yung high school principal, no? These are a lot of our college students who have a very bright future, especially if the older generation would learn how to tell their stories and mentor and walk with them. All of us would play a big part in shaping the next generation, especially your kids. We don't want young people to be indifferent about the faith that you have. Have you seen a lot of parents passionate for God, yet the kids indifferent? Kids say, oh yeah, I go to church every Sunday. I have to. We want them to have an encounter with God. Now, how could we pass our faith to the next generation? How is this passed on? How could we raise a generation of dreamers, of movers, and world changers in our spiritual family? That when they see our church, and they would see our young people, they would say, the young people in that church, the kids in kids' church, are spirit-filled, anointed, lovers of Christ. You know, it would take all of us an effort to come together and collaborate and create a culture within your own household, not just church, but within your own family, that when your kids see you, they would say, I want the faith of Papa. I want what they profess because they live it out. And I love the partnership between parents and the church in raising up godly men and women. How do we do that? Today we'll look at that in the book of Numbers. Numbers 13, verse 1 and 2. I won't go through the two chapters because it would take too long. But let me jump from Numbers 13 and 14. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone, a chief among them. If you look at this verse, the start of Numbers, it says, from each tribe of their what? Their fathers. There is a design within the community that fathers would come together and raise and be deliberate and choose. These are the chief among our men, among our boys, and will train them to be men of war so that when there's crisis, we can choose these men. We are in a culture where there's a shortage of men. You ask Barbie, okay? Yeah. You ask the men, can you not? Can do, cannot. Okay. There's shortage of men, but look at scripture, culturally. The tribe of the fathers choose what? Chief among them. Every father, every chief tribe needs to understand it is his job to raise quality men in his tribe. If you don't do your part as a community of men, you will have a shortage of men who are godly. That's why a lot of women would say to us, Pastor, there's no men in church. Eh. A shortage of godly men, of men who are dreamers and movers. And we've created such a safe place, we've created soft men. We're not challenged. And fathers, we have to rise up because we have to teach them a certain kind of a biblical model of what it means to be a man. But that's not the message. That's just the culture at the time. And then he says in verse 17, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up into the Negev and go up into the hill country and see what the land is. And whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land that they dwell in is a good or bad, and whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not, be of good courage. What was the command? Atapang atao. Okay? Be strong. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. We need an intentional effort as a spiritual family to raise a generation of leaders, next generation leaders, will change the campus and change the world. This was the manifesto of our movement. When we started targeting the young people in 1984 at UBelt, if we change the campus, we change the world. Philosophies of this world are introduced in the classrooms because the students would one day become parents and business people and movers and shakers of culture and society. If you go to the campus and change the campus, you change the world. If our kids, who sits on our dining table every night, a captive audience, would have a good interaction with their parents of godly biblical principles and see it being lived out in their homes, we are going to see a generation of godly men and women, next generation leaders, who take on the faith that we have and pass it on to the next. But it takes a lot of intentionality to do this. It's not easy. Last night was our last worship night. We'll have our youth camp next week. And this is some of the scenarios of our youth meetings. They are not young people. They're also not our target market, by the way. But they are volunteers who are joining our youth and our campus ministry. You have now fathers and mothers and singles saying, let me invest in the next generation. We have some of the top caliber leaders of our church come and help us out in reaching the next generation. It's a powerful thing of collaboration between generations. That college people, the best people who lead college people are not college people. It's people who've been to college, who's living the life and doing business outside and starting their careers to guide them towards the future. It is daddies and moms. You know the best partners in the next generation are moms because they cook for you all the time. Okay? You have free food all the time. Okay. But imagine if this is the picture of the church, right? There's a collaboration that happens. Now, at the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And here's the report of the young next-gen chiefs. And they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. And they showed them the grapes. Big ones, as in injected with something. Looks really big. Okay. What happened here? Moses knew the way to train Joshua and the next generation is to show them the land that we're going to take dominion and conquer. The older generation has the responsibility to show the vision and the promises of God to the next generation. I can't leave it to my kids and say, bahala na kayo, ah, that's your journey with the Lord. No. You show them life in Christ. You show them life in the kingdom. You show them healthy church community. Rather than our kids saying, oh, daddy, it's no time for me because of the church, they would say, I love the church. There's life. When we move in church, community, and family, we have to show them. We grew up in Divisoria. Our parents showed us how to make money. That's just part of Asian culture. We eat a lot, but we know the source. Daddy has to go to Divisoria every day to work. And that's why you get fed, you're in a private school, and that's why you're taken care of because somebody's working hard. They showed it to us at an early age and got us involved in the business. It's actually a very good culture if you think about it. Most of the time, parents who go through hardship would say in their minds, I don't want my kids to experience what I've experienced. It's actually the other way around. The way to build their faith and their dependency on God, with God is for you to show them the vision and the promises of God. But what we would rather do, even as a church sometimes, is to protect our kids. Put them in a bubble. And they don't know the real world. That's why they go out, they're shocked. What will I do? Right? The wolves are eating me up. Because we don't train them. We have to learn how to train them by showing them. This is the world. This is the word of God. Make sense of the world with the word of God. Wrestle with it. Most of the time, we do the work for our kids. It's like an assignment that they cannot answer and you answer so that they'll have high grades. We protect them too much sometimes. They already don't know how to journey with the Lord. However, when there's a however, there's something negative that would happen next. The people, they said, wow, look at the land. It's flowing with milk and honey. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites, Amalekites dwell in the land of Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. He said, the land is really good. It is what God has promised. It's flowing with milk and honey. But by the way, Anak is there, Amalekites are there, Hittites are there, Jebusites, Amorites. Oh, I thought we were just going to enter and then it's the promised land. They thought it was Disneyland. It wasn't. It's full of people that they need to conquer. This is more like a video game where there's a master that you have to fight. It's the promise given to you, but you still have to fight the battle. I want you to see this story because this is so important, especially among us, people of faith. If we don't train the next generation how to pray, how to worship God, how to seek the Lord, when they go to battle and they think this is a bed of roses and they enter into the last stage of warfare and they see, oh no, there are giants. Papa, what will I do? They're not prepared. Because we think VeggieTales will pastor them. Or a kid's book will make it all right. They have to learn how to seek God. They have to learn how to kneel down and pray. They need to learn how to worship God. And we have to show it to them. But if we don't, if we show them a consumer kind of faith, well, Sunday we have to attend, huh? And they get the messaging every week. You know, our kids are very intelligent. They know how you see church and faith. If it's consumer-based, they will never be ready for the battle. And they think, it's just like this, then there's a magic powder and the Spirit's anointing will be upon me and I will defeat the Goliaths in my life. No, 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 no. David prepared a long time. David was given tasks to tend the sheep. He was given the muscles to perform what was needed. When there's a promise, as what Karen told us in our business summit, every dream will be tested. Every promise will be tested. This is Karen. She is a trainer in a lot of companies in Metro Manila and outside, but she takes time to mentor our young people and our campus missionaries. She's giving the next generation tools to be successful outside the walls of this church. It's a powerful thing. Because we know that every dream will be tested. Now, look at the options. If we don't go to the promised land and fight the Anaks and the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Canaanites, we will stay here forever in the desert. Not a good option, by the way. You see, it's more, be more afraid of stagnation than opposition. For many of us, oh no, it's so hard. What will I do? You've got to face it. Be afraid to be stagnant. I don't need a raise of hands, but if you're here today and you feel like you're stuck in your faith and you're stagnant, especially the older generation, then your kids would see the messaging. It's okay to be stagnant like them. And so it's never passed on. Be more afraid of stagnation than opposition. But imagine if we come together as a community, and when your kids and the next generation see us, when these college students and high school students who attend our church would see, look at our fathers of the faith in Victory Makati, fighting, conquering lands. What's the message that they get? We too one day will kill our own giants. It's a message that might not be preached, but it's something that's lived out. More is caught than what? Taught. When they see us live our lives, they're more afraid of stagnation than opposition. I will learn how to fight. I would learn how to conquer the promised land that God has for me. But because they were sharing some bad news, oh no, it's too hard, there's too many opposition. Look at what Caleb did in verse 30. But Caleb quieted the people. Shh, shh. Stop. So you could see there was murmuring and grumbling. We will all die. This is a scam. But Caleb told them, be quiet. Let us go up at once and occupy it. For we are well able to overcome it. He was 40 years old at this time, by the way, Caleb. Then the man who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. So 12 spies, 12 chief, next generation leaders, only Caleb had a different story. Come on, let's do this. Let's occupy the land. So they brought the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. This is not Filipinos talking against, this is not a basketball team. But they're too big. I can't do it. Only Caleb was saying, we can do it. Puso up! Caleb was changing the game. He was saying, why play basketball? We can play billiard. We can do this. Let's occupy the land. Yet they still continue. And there we saw Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who comes from the Nephilim line. And we seem to ourselves like what? Grasshoppers. And so we seem to them. Look at the language. These are the people of God, the armies of the living God. Yet how do they see themselves when they're looking at the mirror? Victims, grasshoppers, small, uneducated, brown lang kami, it's black lives that matter. Public school ako eh, bata pa ako eh, kids table kami. What else? You can give all the reasons. Broken family, dysfunctional, mental health issues. All the things you hear today. That's a mentality as well. I know it's a reality for many, but it's also a mindset, a mentality. And it's a mentality, we're too small. We can't make a difference. Then let that be said to our movement in 1984 when we were meeting in Tandem Cinema, lower basement, with no money. Let that be said to every Christian movement that created a change in the world with no money, had no quality leaders, yet they had faith in God. What was the problem? I want you to observe the two narratives, but one truth. They saw the same thing. Caleb, Joshua, saw the same thing as the 10 spies. All of them trained with the same curriculum on how to raise next generation chiefs. 10 said, we can't. 2 said, we can. Let's go. Let's occupy the land. What was the difference? Perspective. The other one was saying, we can't, we're too small. They will eat us. They will devour us like the rest that tried to conquer the land. But remember, they went for 40 years traveling to get to this place. Imagine after 40 years, oh, we can't. Why? Too hard. It's affecting my mental. We went 40 years. People died for in this journey. This is our chance. Yet there were two narratives. One, truth. They saw the same thing. You see, your narrative and your mindset can cast doubts on the truth. The stories you tell yourselves can cast doubt to what is really true. That's why you see two different kinds of people. People who understand the word of God and the purposes of God and take hold of the kingdom of God. And there are people who also reads the Bible, yet because culture has a stronger voice, they become weak in their faith and they do not occupy the land. I think one of the best-selling books is called Mindset. And it talks about how people have two mindsets, the growth mindset and the fixed mindset. The fixed mindset is what? Oh, it's really like this. I'm really like that. It will never happen to us. Oh, our family's like this. There's going to be no future for us. Forever like this. Why? Look at Lolo, Lola, Tito, Tita, all the same. That's my story. I'm a victim of everything that's happening around me. That's fixed mindset. There's nothing I can do. The other one is growth mindset. It's saying, no, this will make me stronger. No, I can break through whatever curse and whatever life and lies that's shown to me, we can break through that. Okay. And this is where a lot of my church experience came. When I thought I was nothing, that I was 12 and I could never do anything, somebody was giving me a different story. Get your Bible, get your passport, we're going to the nations and change the world. I don't know how to speak, I only know how to make jokes. No, God is going to use you to preach the gospel. What your parents told you to shut up before, now I'm going to use the same gift so that you can preach every week. It's a different mindset. It was growth. You can make a difference. Okay? I hear the voice of Bishop Ferdy. I don't care if you're a donkey. If God can use a donkey, he can use you. No. Yan ang training namin nung bata kami. Imagine. In fact, I did the same thing. We had a family friend who would always sleep in our house. And then he's also Chinese like me, and he was very pampered. And then one time he said, I'm going to the youth service. He says, I want to go also, but I'm not allowed. I said, oh, you're not allowed? Why are you not allowed? Oh, it's dangerous. We don't have a driver. And then go down and then walk to Galleria. That's a 5-minute walk. You can do it. He was 4th-year high school, I think, at this time. I said, I don't know if my parents would allow. Well, it's up to you. And then one Friday youth service, I was worshiping, and then somebody taps me, and I saw him. Well, you're here. Why are you here? It's dangerous. He said, I told my parents that I wanted to go to the youth service, and you challenged me. Oh, I'm proud of you. Sabi niya, can I have, 50 pesos? Oh, why? I forgot to ask money going back to my house. He became a CEO at the age of 22 and is running a multi-million business now. When you overprotect somebody and tell them it's fixed, that's who you'll become. rather than speaking life and purpose and destiny over the lives of young people, different world. It's going to change you. Embrace a growth mindset. Caleb had the growth mindset. Everybody had the fixed mindset. After 40 years, walking for 40 years. Si uncle, si auntie, patay na. 40 years, we're next. Oh, we're not going. So hard. I can't. I'm injured. Narratives can cast doubts on the truth. Okay. I have a story. Okay. But this story is not to bash anyone. Okay? Barbie to Barbie. Okay, so medyo sensitive to. Very sensitive topic in today's world. Right? Barbie had a message. The movie, not the doll. Okay? Huh? No. Okay. I read the speech that became viral. Right? And it's true. The message was so true. A lot of women today would have a hard time climbing to success. And some of them are looked down upon because of their gender. True message. Very agree. 100% agree. Agree because I've seen some of them. That some men are given more opportunities than women. Agree. I've seen it in the world. But I've also seen in the world how a lot of women, that's not their narrative. That a lot of women have breakthrough. Right? Grabe breakthrough sa buhay nila. In fact, I look around and I see, and I sometimes I would interview, what's your salary? And then I would interview a guy in church, what's your salary? Oh, a lot of women here earns more than the men. Right? It's actually very different in the Philippine context. In the Philippines, men have a hard time. Carpenters, masons, drivers risk their lives every day. How much is their salary? So I say, that's Western. So we were having lunch, and I told my two daughters, I understand Barbie. I love Barbie. I played with it with my G.I. Joes. I bought dress for the Barbies of my sister. Right? So that Roadblock and Gung Ho and Snake Eyes will have love interest. I understand Barbie and I understand the truth. And I've read so many articles because my wife was saying, you have to watch it. So I don't have pink. And then, okay, so, yeah, I tried to watch it. Okay, but I told my daughters this. That could be the story of Barbie, and that's their message. I do not want that message in our family. Because that message won't make sense to us. Why we're Christians. We don't follow the stories of the world. You are anointed daughters of God. I say, if this is the story that we will all embrace, there will be no Filipino-Chinese in the Philippines today. Why? We were immigrants, not given a chance. We had to come together. Why? Because everybody was saying, we're tululaway, inchik. Immigrants, they have to work harder. Filipinos will not thrive in Dubai if this is the message. But how come Filipinos are thriving in the Middle East? Because the story is different. I came here to fight. I came here to work triply harder than the citizens who are given so much privileges that they've now turned to become soft workers. And Filipinos are hardworking people. Lumalabas kung ano yung nasa loob. Why? It's the narrative. What do you believe? How do you see yourself? How did God? We preach so many times already on how God designed you. How do you see yourself? Young men and women, don't let that be the story of your life. That you're a victim. Oh, that is, everything's dysfunctional. Who doesn't have a dysfunctional family? You're anointed. You're spirit-filled. You're accepted. You're loved by God. You have what it takes to change the world. You embrace that. Parents, this should be our messaging. You look at your kids and you tell them, you have what it takes. Don't let the narrative of the world. Don't pamper them with the narrative, life is so hard, you'll always be a victim. No, you're not. You're conquerors in Christ. Or else, you'll never get to the promised land. We have to learn how to build up their faith. Then all the congregation, look, here's what happened if you embrace the narrative of the world. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, they were crying. And the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or that we would have died in the wilderness." Such a sad story if this is the ending. Everybody's crying. Oh no, life is hard. Can't make it. Rather than hold on to the promise of God. And look at Numbers 14. Now, this was, we move from 13 to 14. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, said to all the congregation of the people of Israel. Very emotional, no? Why are you crying? They were frustrated. The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are what? Bread for us. Grabe, no? Tada! Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. The 10 were saying, "We're grasshoppers." The 2 were saying, "No, they're like bread. Put peanut butter, lilies. No, it's going to be good. We'll eat them. It's not that hard. We just have to show up and fight. Because this was promised to us." What kind of mentality do we have? What kind of next generation leaders are we raising in our own homes? Sensitive, can't move, hard, life, victim, or conquerors, overcomers, prayer warriors? Because life is not easy. We all know that. Life is so hard. But we don't need to embrace a narrative, then I'm going to lose all the time. You can't. Among you, you go to a sports game or you're participating in one, and in your mind, I'm going to lose. You look at all, I'm going to really lose. What will happen to you? Will you win? No. Right? You will lose. Your walk's different. You can't look at people. Confidence will really go low. Why? In your mind, you've already lost. The option of not moving forward means living in the desert till the day we die. Imagine. The option of not moving forward in your faith journey means living in the desert till the day you die. Do you want that life? Question lang naman, okay? It's your choice. I won't force you. You embrace the kind of life you want, a life that God offers, or the easy, stagnate life till the day you die. Then all the congregation, look at this. No? All the congregation said to stone them with stones. Look, huh? Oh, we can't do it. We can't fight. It's so hard. They're so tall. They're so handsome. They're so muscular. We're not. See, Caleb, no, come on, let's fight. Let's fight. Let's do it. No, no, we cannot. When they heard Caleb saying, "Let's fight," what did they do? The weak, the victim, had the strength to kill 2 of their own guys. Pasikatin natin si kuya. Sila pa nagalit, di ba? When I was doing this sermon, I had to put this. Where do you put your energies? Where do we put our energies? Complaining? Telling another story? Putting people down? Or doing something about the life that God has given us? There's a promise. Where do I put my energy? Towards opposition or the promise? We have to put it towards what? The promises of God. Promise the Lord. Let's put our energies there. When we were meeting with our campus missionaries, what's the promise of God? The city of Makati. Where do we put our energies? Quezon City? No! Well, mga bashers natin online. Kasi Connie preaches, he's a woman eh. Don't put your energies there, please. Let them bash you. Because haters gonna hate. It's okay. They have the whole time to do that. And get the focus. Fix your eyes on God and His mission. Let's raise more next generation leaders. Where do you put your energies? Where do we put our energies? But truly, as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who had seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have put me to test this 10 times, they have not obeyed my voice. Oh, God was so mad with the 10. These 10 chief next generation leaders, they've disobeyed me. They shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers, and none of those who despise me shall see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit, and has followed me fully, obeyed me fully. I will bring it to the land to which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. What made Caleb different? We can follow Christ partially or casually. Yet what Christ is looking for are people who would follow Him fully. Let's go back. Let me talk to the older generation. Messaging again. Messaging. Messaging is so important. Do you follow Christ partially? Oh, yeah, yeah. My parents go to church. Oh, when they worship, sometimes they cry the tear. They wipe it dry. I was confused. Okay, so, my parents go to church. But they fight a lot, by the way. You can follow Christ partially or casually. Oksoks lang. Casual lang. Yeah, we give our tithes. Yeah. But you know, with the mission of God, you're not a sold out. Or you can follow Christ fully. And when the next generation sees that, they'll say, what made our forefathers have the crazy kind of faith to be so passionate about the mission of God, they would dedicate their Sundays and their lives and their businesses and how they raise their kids towards the things and the causes of God. That's a powerful message. Last week, Pastor Ferdy preached in our staff meeting. We had campus missionaries crying because we had a 60-year-old guy who still wants to go to war. The reality is the pandemic hit all of us. Who's most greatly affected? The young people. No friends 2 years. A lot of things going on in our mind. It's hard. That's the reality. What do we need? What do we need? When it's all messed up, so many things, doubts happening in us. 2 years, my life. We need to get that life back. How? Modeling. Not modeling, okay? We need models who would say, let's go to war again. The spirit of Caleb. Look at this. I want to end here with a conversation Caleb had 45 years later. He's now 85. He's old. Sitting down with this barkada. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh and Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me? So they were talking. Joshua and Caleb.
Pare. Lalo mo. Si Moses, rest his soul. Okay. You know what they talk about? They're talking about us. Lalo mo. Sayo, yan, lalo yan.
Dalawang matanda na to. 80 years old na to. Okay.
Yung aircon pakibukas, mahilip. Nalala mo.
What would the Lord say about you? Yeah, I'm trying to imagine already. If I'm 85, what would the Lord say about me? What will I be doing? Aside from drinking Randall's coffee. Kung 85 na ako, ilan taon ka noon? 120? Okay, na. 85, 40 years from now. Ilan taon ka noon? 98? 90 plus? Kung buhay ka pa, okay, no? Kung hindi, may picture ka. Randall. Hindi ko alam kung buhay pa ako. Okay. Imagine, talking. What would the Lord say about this?
I've been doing ministry with Pastor Robert for 21 years already. Could be 15, 20 years from now, we'll be sitting down.
Ay, nalala pa. 50 ka na, nagka-campus ka pa.
Imagine. Pastor King and I have been in ministry together for 20 years. Imagine. 20 years from now, we'll be talking. What would the Lord say about us? What would the Lord say about you? Spirit of Caleb, fully obeyed God, followed the mission of God.
Here's what Caleb said. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God, fully obeyed, not partially, not casually, fully.
But we obeyed. Everybody was afraid. We obeyed. Crazy, no? Crazy. I was willing to die that time. I'm ready.
And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have what? Followed the Lord my God. They obeyed the Lord fully. So imagine, they're sitting down. Coffee bean nila. In the province. Joshua, Caleb, talking. And now behold, this is Caleb speaking. The Lord has kept me alive. Just as he said, this 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. And I'm still strong today as it was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is my strength was then for war and for going and coming. Pause. Okay. That's why I'm very careful with the illustration. I wasn't saying, Joshua.
No. These guys are like Pastor Jim.
They're fit. 85. Ito yung pag nagtanggal ng t-shirt, may abs pa to. 85 years old. Walang dentista, walang postizo to. Healthy. Vegetarian, most likely. Okay? And they're talking at 85. You know, pare, I'm still as strong. After 45 years, I can still go to war. You know, look at all these boys here. We can go to war with these people. As they were talking, so now, he says this, give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. Okay.
Kung if it's present day, di ba? Pare, nag-invest ako dyan sa bundok, akin yan eh.
But there was no investment in real estate at the time. What he was saying is, it was promised to me. I'm now 85. Give me that. That's mine.
So George, oh, yeah? Well, you get yours. Both of us will have mountains. Imagine, 85 years old. What's the usual activity of an 85-year-old today?
I don't know. I'm not 85, ha? Mahjong, okay? Pwede. Swimming, okay? Right?
But at the age of 85, they were saying, I'm not, there's no retiring. Give me that mountain. I'm going to war. I'm still strong. I can climb up the mountain. It is your responsibility to keep yourself strong in the Lord. These two men, old men, we're still strong. We can still do this.
I put there, which requires some changes in our lives, because I was talking to myself.
Can I say at the age of 85, I can still climb up the mountain? It's different aspects of life. Not just mindset, not just vision, but even physical.
The mind is willing, di ba? The saying, the mind is willing, but the body is weak.
I still want, but I have all these medicines. Cannot.
There requires changes. If you look at Moses, when he died, he climbed up the mountain.
Di ba? Siguro tayo may nurse, tapos may bed going up the mountain, right? Or naka-wheelchair.
These guys were climbing the mountains on the day of their death.
Lord, take me. I'm good.
Caleb, 85, saying, let's go to war.
You know, I tell this story because I want you to understand this. There's no way your kids and the next generation will dream dreams if they don't see the fathers and the mothers of this family dream. Fight. Be strong. If this becomes casual Sunday service, if you're not sold out local church involvement, you're not sold out in the Great Commission of making disciples, this will create the softest Christians that you will ever see in this generation. No vision, nothing. I just want to go to heaven. I will accept Jesus so that I will not go to hell. That's the kind of Christians you will produce. Imagine the havoc a consumer Christian will give to the world. It's all about me, not even about Christ and His kingdom. I just don't want to burn in hell. It's a bad message.
You can undo every message every Sunday with how we live our lives. Or we can amplify the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ when the fathers and mothers of this church, the titos and titas of this church, would say, we will obey God fully. Not partially, not casually, fully.
Iho, may dream ka? Sit down with me. Let's dream together. What's your dream? Let's walk.
Let's do this together.
Okay. Sabi niya, that's the secret daw of staying young. You look at Pastor Robert, di ba? He's 50 years old. But he looks 47. No, no. He looks 40 plus. Right?
Why? He's always with young people. You go to his house, there's full of young people.
Secret of youth. The fountain of youth is to still be walking alongside the next generation.
Yeah.
What's one of the most stressful jobs in the world? Teacher. Do you see teachers age not well?
No, they age really well.
Sir, you still look young. Why? They're always with young people.
There's something different when we start embracing that kind of culture where it's no longer just your war.
I imagine the day, and the day has actually come. Now that I have my son, who's 10 years old, we're going to war together. We're going to do ministry together. We're going to seek God together, worship God together. We're in this journey.
Okay.
I will speak purpose in your life. You're young. You're a warrior. Let's go. Let's do the things of God. With my daughter, it's the same way. Mga warrior princesses kayo. Come on, let's change the world. Let's do something about this. Right? And of course, the queen makes it all possible. Lord, give me the spirit of Caleb. Lord, yung gigil. Pag tumatanda, minsan nawawala yung gigil. Ano ba sa English yung gigil? Di ba? Parang, right? We are blessed to have some of our oldest pastors, Bishop Manny, Bishop Ferdy, sino pa ba yung mga bishop natin? No? All of this, si Pastor Michael Paderes, almost Bishop Jire, every time they go up, tas young people kausap nila, they cry. They cry all the time. So, wow, pag tumatanda pa talagang iyak ng iyak. Ako, start pa lang ha. Okay, so, might not happen again after a long, long time again, but, yeah, when you see them, parang, grabe no, yung passion. It's still there. Just never gets old. I hope that's the culture that we create here. And we're not just talking about FEU, PO. Talking about your kids. We need that here. We need them to be worshiping the Lord. We need them to be opening up their Bible. May Bible na ba yung anak mo? Bilang mo na ba ng Bible yan? Are your kids reading the Word? Have you read your Bible? Oh, yeah, yeah. I have to read my Bible. And you'll be amazed when the Spirit speaks to them. It's deep. Deep revelations of the Word. For 10, 9 years old, you'll be amazed at how the Spirit of God speaks to them. Right? Lord, give us the Spirit of Caleb. That's why I want to start with us. Not campus ministry. Tayo. All of us in this room. We need to embrace this. We need more Calebs. Because there's a shortage of Calebs in this generation. There's a lot when it comes to business. Making millions, buying the sports car, getting famous. Oh, there's a lot of Calebs out there. With a different messaging. It's all about the money. It's all about the success and the fame. That message, no shortage. But the shortage of godly leadership, embracing the cause of Christ, being warriors for God, oh, that one, medyo walang content sa YouTube yan. We need more of that. We need fathers speaking again. We need mothers speaking and taking charge as well. In kids' ministry, we need more parents there who would impart the spirit of Caleb. That the young people would say, it now makes sense why they go to church. We understand the passion. We understand the love. Right? I want to pray that for us. I want to end with this picture, two pictures. This is Pastor Robert, 20 years ago, and me. 20 years ago yan, 20 years ago. Okay? Galing nga tayo kay Pastor King, eh, no? Pinicturan niya. Hanggang ngayon, pinapanood ko pa rin siya. Last night, he was preaching for 30 minutes. He said 10 minutes, it became 30 minutes. But I was watching him. He was so concerned with some young people who attended our worship night who were not yet Christians. Perspiring. He wanted to get the message across. He says, yeah, so, sorry, I promised 10 minutes, became 30 minutes. Because I was looking at that group of people who are new in church and I wanted the word of God in depth. So, Robert, there's 80% who are, but yeah, he was just, his heart and passion for the lost never changes. It's like, I want to be like Robert when I grow up. And when I grow taller also, I want to be like him. Never ending. Another picture. This was my newsletter. This was our first outreach in La Salle, inside the campus. That's Mariam, Pastor Mariam. That's me. All right. And we were doing ministry together 20 years ago. Same passion. Now, Mariam and I, we have some challenges now. Back problem. We have to eat the supplement. Before, that was not a problem. We were drinking Yakult. So we were healthy. Okay, but you look at it now and you're saying, Mariam, grabe, kasama pa rin tayo. doing the same things. Different faces, different generation. But now, you know what's fun? My daughters are doing ministry with Maria. I'm doing ministry with some of your kids. We're doing something together multi-generationally. Only God can orchestrate something this beautiful. That's why I challenge. You know, when I say, guys, please don't just attend church, get involved. I'm not saying this as a spiel so that we'll have more people attending. Please. Rather, I want you to experience the power of multi-generational ministry. Sobrang lakas niya. Sobrang powerful niya. Again, I cannot explain how. It's just the pictures will tell you. Wow. Grabe. Same message of purpose, of destiny, of kingdom, of the cross, of the gospel, of the love of Christ. Still going to the campuses. May assignment ako. Mag-FEU kami ni Randall. Yeah. Joshua kayo. Pare, FEU tayo ulit. Okay. Yeah. It's exciting again if you look at it. After more than a decade, still saying the same language. Lord, give me a mountain. What's your mountain? Start claiming the promises of God and say, Lord, I'm not going to be stagnant. Lord, give me those mountains. Make me dream again. You know, more than you just being intentional about reaching the next generation, if you just dream the dreams of God for your life and the young people see it, that's a message in itself. Lakas na yan. You don't have to show up in our campus ministry outreach. Just live your life with the promises of God and the dreams of God and tell that story to a younger person. You will ignite a generation who will dream and who would seek the Lord with all their hearts if they say, that person fully obeyed God. Not casually, not partially, fully obeyed God. I want to be that kind of person. Can we all bow down our heads and pray? Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for the message that there's the spirit of Caleb that resides in all of us, where we can dream again, where retirement is not an option, because there's lots of work to do. There's a lot of mountains to climb and conquer. There's a lot of next generation leaders that we can journey with. I pray, Lord, that we will not stop. I pray, Lord, that we will take this seriously with passion, an assignment from the Lord, a burden from God. Lord, that cannot be unfulfilled. We need, Lord, to live, Lord, as dreamers again so that the next generation might see that the older generation have fully obeyed God and that this faith makes a lot of sense and our kids would see it and our kids would embrace it. Lord, let that be the story of Victory Makati, Lord, of every person in this room. That the faith that we pass on is fiery faith. Not a casual kind, not a light version of the faith, but a faith that can that only comes from God. Make us dream once again, even as you prophesied in Acts, that old men will dream dreams. And we will see visions again. Let that be our story as your people, God, that we would set an example, that we will model faith to the next generation. Can I ask everybody who's not in college and high school to please stand? Let me pray for the next generation. Can you stand? If you're not in high school, you're not in college, you're not a student anymore, please stand. All right. And we're going to commission you. Okay? Next week, na yung mga young people. Next week. Promise. We'll pray for the young people. But we're going to pray for the older generation. I hope this stirred you up. I hope this will not make you sleep. So buy melatonin tonight, okay? I hope the Spirit speaks to you. I hope you wake up at the wee hours of the night with a burden to pray for your kids and the next generation. Because your life is really not about you. That's a Christian life. It will never be about you. Can you lift up your hands? Let us pray. Father, I pray, God, for every person standing here. let there be a fresh impartation of the Holy Spirit to once again dream the dreams of God, to once again live a life of purpose, a life of ministry, serving the Lord in whatever capacity that we have, whether it's in our business, in our influence, or in our carved time with the next generation, especially, most especially our kids, that they would see daddy and mommy living out their faith, following Christ fully, not partially. Lord, that they would see a kind of faith with emotions in it, a kind of faith that's not just intellectual or casual or weekly, but a daily kind of faith. Lord, I pray for every single man and woman here, Lord, let it be also our story. While the narratives of this world would cast doubts on the goodness and the greatness and the purposes of God, let our stories, Lord, proclaim and amplify and demonstrate the destiny, the purposes of God for your church and your people. Spirit of God, come in fresh waves today upon your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Rekindle once again passions and dreams that comes from God and not of our own. Jesus, teach us to live lives of influence so that the next generation might see. Now we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, amen and amen. All right.